Please turn with me in your Bible then to Matthew chapter 5, Gospel according to Matthew, as we continue our verse-by-verse study through this gospel account. Matthew 5, verse 31 and 32. Matthew 5, 31 and 32, reading from God's holy word. Jesus is speaking. Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Pray. Come, gracious Spirit, heavenly dove, with light and comfort from above, be thou our guardian, thou our guide, or every thought and step preside, the light of truth to us display. Make us know and choose thy way, plant holy fear in every heart, that we from God may ne'er depart. May that be our prayer this day, dear Heavenly Father, as we look at your holy word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Divorce is the end of a marriage. In America, divorce occurs every 36 seconds. That is nearly 2,400 divorces a day. Every single day. 41% of all first marriages end in divorce. 60% of all second marriages end in divorce. 72% of all third marriages end in divorce. Divorce and remarriage is as pandemic in America as is the coronavirus. And what's alarming, friends, is the leaven is permeating the professing church. The statistics for divorce and remarriage in the professing church parallel those that are in the secular culture. The professing church seems to have no regard for the authoritative teaching of Jesus in our Bible text today. To please self, to be willingly ignorant of the Bible text that we have before us, to behave as an antinomian, anti-law, oh saved by grace, oh blessed condition, I can sin all I want and still have remission, to minimize sin, to have the opinion that God grades on the curve and so will accept what I do, to have pastors that reinforce such false thinking is to replicate the Phariseeism that Jesus was contending against and makes our Bible text extremely relevant for our day. Friends, there's only four possible interpretations of the Bible teaching on divorce and remarriage. Number one, there's no divorce ever. Number two is the other extreme. Divorce and remarriage possible for any reason or none at all. And the third option is divorce permitted for some reasons, but remarriage never. And the fourth option, both divorce and remarriage are permitted under certain circumstances. So we ask ourselves, what did Jesus teach? The answer is in our Bible text today. What's the context? We've been preaching through the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is Matthew's 5 through 7. The theme of the Sermon on the Mount is righteousness. In fact, the standard is perfect righteousness. Matthew 5, 48, Jesus says, "Be therefore perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." And because of that standard, most in the professing church today think that the ethic that the Sermon on the Mount teaches is otherworldly. It's not meant for this world, so we can just dismiss it and discard Matthew 5 through 7 completely. That is false, heretical teaching. The theme verse is 5:20 in the section we're on. "For I say to you," Jesus says, "unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of God." What Jesus is saying here, friends, is this righteousness that God requires of you and I is first of all internal. It's of the heart. And then it's external. It's internal first of the heart. The heart, as Martin Lloyd-Jones says, is the center of the personality. It's the entire inner man. A.W. Pink says the heart is your mind, your will, your affections, and your conscience. That's your heart. God is the judge, first of all, of our hearts. Mark 7:21-23, it's not what comes into a man that defiles a man, it's what comes out of the man. Luke 6:45, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 4:23, for out of the heart are the issues of life. Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. God is the only one that sees the heart. 1 Kings 8:39. Jeremiah 17:9-10, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Then that righteousness is external. And the Pharisees had the external righteousness down. But they dismissed the internal. And what Jesus here is telling them is that the law of God is a lot more spiritual and has a lot more to do with the heart than they realize. And I think the same is true for a lot of us today. We make that mistake. Just give me 10 things to do and I'll do it. Just the letter of the law and that's it. And we forget the spirit of the law. And that what Jesus is teaching here us is verse 17. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus fulfilled the law perfectly. He was sinless. He showed us what it means to obey God's law and live righteously. And he teaches us that his gospel magnifies his law and exalts its authority. And what is that purpose of the law that is inextricably linked to the gospel? You can't separate the law and the gospel. And that law is our tutor to drive us to Christ. Galatians 3:24. So what has Jesus done here so far? What he's done here is he's looked at chapter 5, verse 21 to 26. He's looked at the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. And then he's looked at the seventh commandment, which we're in right now, Exodus 20:14. The sixth one is 20:13. You shall not commit adultery. And next week, Lord willing, we'll be looking at the third commandment, Exodus 20, verse 7. And these commandments are in the negative. And that's because of our sin and our depravity that still remains. But the positive is we need to not to do those things. The positive is to live righteously, to live as Christ lived. Righteousness is God's holiness in action. You and I are to oppose sin. And you and I are to have positive moral excellence exhibited in our lives. Verses 21 to 48, Jesus gives the sixth examples here of the contrast between the false righteousness then of the Pharisees, which is mere externalism, and then the true righteousness of God's word, which begins in the heart. Starts with murder, then adultery and divorce, which we're on today. Then he's speaking on the truth, retaliation, and loving others. And you notice they're all introduced in verses 21 to 48 by the same formula. Jesus says, you've heard it said to those of old, but I say to you. So may the Spirit today, friends, illumine our minds as to the Bible's teaching on divorce and remarriage. And may it remove confusion from our lives. Give us spiritual clarity and the desire and enablement to obey. And may we think God's thoughts after him in life and lip and declare before a watching world that we indeed are Jesus' disciples. Follow along in the outline in your bulletin that's provided as we look at the topic today, are Christian divorce and remarriage ever permissible? The first point is Moses' teaching on divorce. Look at verse 31. Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. The rabbis would quote from Moses' teaching on divorce in Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 through 4. Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4. When a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he found some uncleanness in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, sends her out of his house, when she's departed from his house, goes and becomes another man's wife, if the latter husband detests her and writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, sends her out of his house, or if the latter husband dies who took her as his wife, then her former husband who divorced her must not take her back to be his wife after she has been defiled. What is Moses saying here? Because illegitimate divorce proliferates adultery. He goes on to say here, it's an abomination before the Lord. You shall not bring sin on the land which your Lord as God is giving you as an inheritance. In summary here, friends, Moses is saying, through the inspiration of the Spirit, husband that finds some uncleanness in his wife, that means some indecency, the nakedness of a thing, including shameful, indecent behavior, promiscuity, unfaithfulness, but short of adultery, because the penalty for adultery is death, Leviticus 20:10. So the husband was allowed then by Moses to write a certificate of divorce. But we need to conclude here that God is not commanding divorce. He's rather warning about it, this uncleanness and what this husband is doing here, because it leads to an adulterous situation. It's a concession on God's part. Divorce was tolerated in Moses' day. Jesus reaffirmed that in Matthew 19:8. Jesus said to the Pharisees, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning, as God instituted marriage, as Genesis 2:24, it was not so. The certificate of divorce protects the woman. It's preferable to death by stoning. Another Old Testament text we can look on that's important as to the topic of divorce is the book of Hosea. Gomer, which was Hosea's wife, represents sinning Israel. Hosea's actions represent God. God forgives Israel, buys or redeems her off the slave block of sin, forgives her, and takes her back. No divorce. It shows God's unending love for his people. Jeremiah 31:3, I've loved you with an everlasting love. And it points forward to God's inseparable love for his church. It pictures the whole unbreakable union of marriage. God hates divorce, Malachi 2:16. In Genesis 2:24, God instituted marriage. And that's repeated in Matthew 19:5. Ephesians 5:31, and Mark 10:7-8. A man shall leave his father and his mother, and he shall cleave or cling to his wife, and the two become one flesh. Now that word in the Hebrew, the cling or the cleave, means to be cemented together, super glued together. To separate that union, what happens is to tear, to maim, to injure, and cause irremovable scars. And that's how it should be, friends, because it goes against God's command. God's authoritative intent for marriage in the Old Testament is clear. It's an unbreakable union while each is alive without divorce. Are Christian divorce and remarriage ever permissible? First point is Moses' teaching on divorce. The second point is the Pharisees' teaching on divorce. Verse 31 again. Furthermore, it's been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. The Pharisees emphasized the letter of the law, not the spirit, and the external over the internal, the heart. For the rabbis, the authority was not based on originality or under God's supremacy, but on quoting other rabbis who had gone before. And those rabbinic teachings then were compiled in the Targum, and the Targum was written in the first century AD. They had taken what God had reluctantly had permitted because of the hardness of their heart and turned it into a legal right, a command. They say such in Matthew 19:7. They said to Jesus, the Pharisees, "Why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce to put her away?" The Pharisees then took their false interpretation of Deuteronomy 24:1 through 4, and they made both divorce and remarriage permissible for any reason whatsoever or no reason at all. Israel had no fault divorce long before America ever conceived of it. The rabbinic school of Hillel, which was the majority opinion in Jesus' day, that was the liberal school, they took this false interpretation and they put it in practice like this. If the Pharisee husband came down in the morning for breakfast and he didn't like the way his wife looked, if she burnt his toast or her breath smelled like a moose, she could take her to the local authority, the Sanhedrin, stand before that authority, write a certificate of divorce, hand that to his wife, she's soon to be his ex that is standing there, stand before the judge and say three times facing her in the judge's presence, "I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you." And after the third, "I divorce you," the marriage was ended. It was done. He could go out and remarry, go out and marry another woman. And the wife was free to remarry also. So we ask ourselves, how many marriages do you think some of these Pharisees had in their lives? With no-fault divorce in America, the last I heard, I had one of my high school classmates. He was on number 7 wife, and he's still counting. By their false belief of Deuteronomy 24:1 through 4, the divorce-happy Pharisees denied God's will and destroyed his work. In Malachi chapter 3, Malachi chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. Listen to what God says. "And this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Yet you say, 'For what reason?' Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth." They were wrapped up in a whole bunch of frivolous divorces. It was rampant. "Yet she's your companion and your wife by covenant. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce, for it covers one's garment with violence or cruelty, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously." The NIV says this, "For the Lord God of Israel says he hates divorce and cruel men. Therefore, control your passions. Let there be no divorcing of your wives." God says those who deal treacherously with the wife of their youth, their companion, their wife by covenant, no one who does so has a remnant of God's Spirit. God hates divorce. And he who does so covers his garment with violence or cruelty. Malachi is saying God's Spirit, friends, is never a party to divorce. A Pharisee was a hypocrite for their divorce practices and remarriage practices. In Matthew 23, 13 and 14, Jesus says of them, they had no part in the kingdom of heaven and they as hypocrites will receive a hotter hellfire, a greater condemnation. Friends, woe to those, including us, who manipulate and distorts God's law and its use of it as a pretext for and a party to sin. To be like the Pharisees and join Christ with Satan, righteousness to unrighteousness, God to sin, will incur God's wrath and justice. Numbers 32:23, you've sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Exodus 34:7, God will in no wise clear the guilty. Are Christian divorce and remarriage ever permissible? The first point is Moses' teaching on divorce. Second point is Pharisees' teaching on divorce. And the third point is Jesus' teaching on divorce. Look at verse 32. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. When Jesus says, but I say to you, friends, Jesus is in contrast to the Pharisees and the scribes. Because Jesus was not speaking on the basis of other rabbis or other humans as authority. But Jesus was speaking as God. This was a command. A command, a formal order from one who has authority or control over all things. And authority is a power or right to enforce obedience. Jesus was speaking here as God, and he was speaking as God, the judge. John 5:22, the Father judges no one, but he's committed all judgment to the Son. In John 5:27, he's given him authority to execute judgment also because he's the Son of Man. Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the hearts. I test the mind to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Friends, verse 32 is the ultimate contrast of verse 31. And as Spurgeon said, we see things by contrast. Or as Os Guinness says, contrast is the mother of clarity. In verse 32, Jesus affirmed Moses' teaching on divorce. The Pharisees' immoral practice of divorcing their wives, causing them to remarry, multiplied adultery, illegitimate unions. The Greek word here for divorces is apoluo, and it means, it always refers to divorce, and has the basic meaning of let loose, let set free. So Jesus' command has to do strictly with divorce and marriage, not mere separation, desertion, or betrothal. And we know the betrothals in Israel, like Joseph and Mary, were considered binding and indissolvable. Matthew 1:19. Jesus was intent here on clarifying what Moses has said in Deuteronomy 34:1-4. God does not command divorce. But Jesus says divorce is permissible, as he says in Matthew 19:8. Moses permitted divorce because, or God permitted divorce because of the hardness of your heart. And Jesus says here, only on the grounds of sexual immorality. The word in the Greek is porneia. We get the English word pornography from that word, porneia. It's only on the ground of sexual immorality or porneia that the husband can divorce this woman. If she does so on any other grounds than porneia, then it makes that woman an adulteress. And then whoever she marries commits adultery. Mark 10:11-12. Mark 10:11-12. So he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. So we ask ourselves, what is the precise meaning here of this porneia or sexual immorality? It refers to any unlawful sexual behavior. Any unlawful sexual behavior, whether or not the parties are married. It's a broad term. It includes adultery, incest, when you have sexual intercourse between persons so closely related, they are forbidden by law to marry, prostitution, homosexuality, bestiality, and it also includes abuse. Right now in America, over one out of every four households, there is some form of abuse. These are sins, friend. In the Old Testament, they were capital offenses, demanded death. Leviticus 20, 10 through 14. But Jesus makes a concession here for sin, a gracious provision for the innocent party. The one who has not defiled the marriage, that person then was permitted to remarry. Jesus allows for divorce on the grounds of unchastity, this lacking in purity of conduct, porneia. Jesus underscores the fact that God still hates divorce and he desires a monogamous marriage, one man, one woman, for as long as they both shall live. 1 Corinthians 7:39. Remember the book of Hosea and how forgiving God was and still desired the marriage to last. Since the fall of man in Genesis 3, the battle between the sexes has gone on. The woman in sin has desired to rule over the man rather than come alongside and to be his helpmate, Genesis 2:18 and 3:16. And the man in sin has responded as a chauvinist with hard-fisted, stern, my way or the highway kind of leadership and headship rather than the servant leadership of Jesus and the Word of God. In Mark 10:45, Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. The only way the husband and the wife can overcome their ready willingness to sin is to be filled with the Spirit of Christ and live a life of the Beatitudes. Matthew 5, 3 and following. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, etc. Christian marriages are to evidence Ephesians 5:25 before a watching world. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave her himself for her. And as we know, that's an indissolvable union, incapable of being separated, annulled, or denied. As believers, there's two sinners under the same roof. And we are to commit to that marriage until death parts us, and we must practice Ephesians 4:32 in the light of John 15:5. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Without me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. The question for us today, friends, are we true disciples of Jesus in heart and life, or are we mere Pharisees looking for the letter of the law loopholes to satisfy our sinful natures and lusts and passions? Mark this, it's no accident that Jesus dealt first with lust and sinful passions in Matthew 5, 28 through 31, before dealing with divorce and remarriage in verses 31 and 32. They are inseparably linked together. Are Christian divorce and remarriage ever permissible? 3 points this morning. Moses teaching on divorce, Pharisees teaching on divorce, and Jesus teaching on divorce. John MacArthur says this, abortion is to childbirth what divorce is to marriage. Abortion destroys God's own image. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And divorce destroys God's picture of his church. Ephesians 5, 25. God hates both abortion and divorce. Malachi 2, 16 still stands true. God hates divorce, for it covers one's garment with violence or cruelty. From her Hollywood marriage counseling practice, Dr. Medved embarked on writing a morally neutral book, intent on showing divorce merely to be another choice to marriage. But her research brought her to the inescapable conclusion that she was wrong. Her published book was entitled The Case Against Divorce. Sin, friends, as always, clouds our minds as to the simplicity of God's teaching on marriage and divorce. Marriage as ordained by God is to be an unbreakable union of one man and one woman until death parts them. Matthew 19:6, Jesus said, "What God has joined together, let not man drive asunder." Divorce is only permitted in this sin-cursed world for the God-ordained reasons of adultery and abuse, Matthew 5:32 and 19:9, that comes under the Greek word porneia, and also 1 Corinthians 7:15 for abandonment. If an unbelieving spouse refuses to live with a believing spouse, then the innocent believing party is free to remarry, but only in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 7:39. The question arises, and you've probably had it arise in your mind. Why does God, who hates divorce, who manifestly desires no divorce, then turn around and allow it? John Murray, in his great book, The Principles of Conduct, says this. Listen. The principle is this. Not everything proper in a state of perfection is proper in a state of sin. Many of the norms of Scripture are based on the premise of man's depravity. The ethic the Bible institutes for man is not the ethic of a state of ideal perfection. It takes full account of man's sin. And this is reflected both in the form and the content of the instituted law. Matthew 19:8, Jesus said to them, "Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so." 1 Timothy 1:9, "Knowing this, the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless, the insubordinate, the ungodly, and for sinners, for the unholy, and for profane." As sinners saved by grace with a sin nature that still remains, may our marriage, divorce, and remarriage ethic or practice be godly. And by God's indwelling Spirit and grace, may we always be seeking to glorify God, point others to Christ, and to keep His church pure. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word of truth. These are hard words, but by Your Spirit, may they make for soft hearts. May we be convicted by this truth. May we live by this truth. May Jesus be seen in us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.